Hey, folks, before we get started with the homemade broadcast this week, I just wanted to tell you quickly about NTT Fitness and NTTFitness.com. That is a full health mecca. I tell you what, located in Pinellas Park, you got group fitness classes, you got a gymnasium, you got people that will hold you accountable for your own fitness goals, and they have an excellent meal prep service. Now, I know you can cook your own food. I get it. You know how to do it. Wouldn't it be nice to have some variety, though, and it's delivered right to your door? You can get your entire Sunday back. You don't have to worry about it. It shows up on Sunday night, and then you just put it in the fridge, and you got food for the week. It is awesome. I've been using it for a few weeks, and I absolutely love it. I want you to try it out. Use code LEVELUP15. That's the homemade broadcast code at checkout, and you'll get 15% off your first order, NTTFitness.com. All right, let's start the show.
Beach, rock, rock, park, Central Avenue. We're all about the Sunshine City. RadioCP.com. RadioCP.com presents the Homemade Broadcast.
Sometimes when I wipe, I'll wipe and I'll wipe and I'll wipe and I'll wipe 100 times, still poop.
Let me check that.
It's like I'm wiping a marker or something.
Okay, and are you ready for the show?
Yay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
I'm Bert Kreischer, and you're listening to the Homemade Broadcast.
Personnel, this is CVTS. Space vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It is the homemade broadcast, HMB Radio on RadioStPete.com. My name is Will Koontz. Welcome back to the program. I hope you're well. I'm doing good. 813-693-2124 is a text and voice line. If you have any questions, concerns, comments, HMBRadio.com is my website. You can find all past episodes of the program. You can find news, blog posts, how to get in contact, all on that website. If you have not, please subscribe to HMB Radio on iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts. Just search HMB Radio Tampa Bay. Come right up. Subscribe to it. Give it a 5-star rating. Tell a friend about it if you really like it. Word of mouth is the best form of advertising. So I appreciate you taking the time to do so. So what's going on, brothers and sisters out there? It's a new week, the week that was in the Tampa Bay area. Tampa has a new mayor. That's right. Jane Castor was elected mayor this past week in a landslide against some rich guy who owns a theater in Tampa, David Strass. And she beat him handedly. But the big story isn't that a qualified person was elected mayor. It's that she's gay. That's the story here. And that's what CNN ran with this week. On Tuesday night, former police chief Jane Castor was elected mayor of Florida's third largest city. Castor's victory was national news. Why? Because CNN said so. She's the first lesbian elected mayor in Florida and the first in the broader Southeast. In a search of more info about Castor and the broader political landscape that elected her, CNN talked with Tampa Bay Times reporter Kirby Wilson. And they had a conversation on Chris Saliza's show about what to expect from Jane Castor. Now, the real story with Jane Castor, yes, she's the first lesbian mayor. Everybody knows that's a big deal. She also is the first nine-fingered mayor. because she got into some accident a few years ago and they made her a prosthetic finger. And I think that's the real story here, folks. I don't know if you agree or not, but having the first nine, it's, you can make this a big deal about anything. Anything that somebody has, you could say it's a first of that thing. If I ever get elected mayor, I'm going to be the first mayor to have some man boobs a little bit. Got a little bit of man boobs. You know, that's a big deal. And I like to be some sort of paramount for the man boob community out there. I want them to know that there's still hope. So this is me today announcing my candidacy for St. Pete or Tampa or somewhere mayor. First mayor with man boobs in the world. Well, maybe not the world. Maybe not even the state. But definitely probably in this city, I would say. Although Kreisman's kind of got a little bit of man boobage going on, I think. So maybe I'm in good company. You know what? Forget it. I'm not running for mayor. This is stupid. I'm going to continue to just yell into this microphone in my apartment by myself, because that's what I feel comfortable with. So congratulations, Miss Mayor Jane Castor, for your election. And you're replacing Bobby Buckhorn, as I like to refer to him. I met him once at one of the Lightning games. Nice guy. He was walking around last season, and I was working at the Bone Tent, and I grabbed him, and he took a picture with our fake Stanley Cup that I think somebody stole recently from the station. But, yeah, nice guy. You know, local politics are supposed to be pretty unpolitical for the most part. They're really supposed to be centered on the issues. I remember talking to Mayor Rick Kreisman about that when he was on the podcast, I don't know, a couple years ago now, when he used to like me. I don't think he likes me anymore. But what he did, one of the things we talked about was that, you know, yeah, it's not really like the stuff you see on CNN and Fox News where people kind of take a side with local stuff. It's more just about, you know, how are we going to fix this sewage problem? And let's work together. And nobody really talks about it. Although, Mayor Rick kind of did make it political. He made that statement on, he's been a very political mayor the past few years. But he went and said that he wasn't barring Trump from the city of St. Petersburg. Because that was, I guess that was when they were doing the Islam ban, that they called it. And it was some countries that Barack Obama put together and said it was no visas from those countries. And then he instated that, and then everybody got mad at him because we live in a stupid world now. And then he said that and went on MSNBC and grew a beard. And now he's, I don't know, he's uber political now. But he's probably going to run for Congress over. And I wish him well, Mr. Mayor. I still love you, even if you hate me now. 813-693-2124 is the voice and text line here. If you want some stickers, let me know, and some magnets. I got some of those, too. Just slip in my DMs, home_made_man on Twitter and Instagram. If you send me your address, I will put some in the mail for you. I want to say thank you very much to one of our sponsors here, Truvvi Salon and Spa. Truvvi is T-R-U-V as in victory, Y, salonandspa.com, 8908 4th Street North. Unit B right here in St. Petersburg, the finest establishment for all your spa needs. Need a haircut? Boom! Get it done right there. You want some Botox shot in your face to smooth it all out? Well, you get that there too. Bam! Two birds with one stone. I think they do like nails and stuff. I'm pretty sure. That's my friend Chrissy Parker's establishment. She's killing it over there. So make your appointment today. TruvviSalonAndSpa.com. The St. Petersburg Pier is well on its way to being built to completion, and they need some help because they're seeking an array of vendors for the pier. The city of St. Petersburg is seeking a variety of businesses that offer a good mix of products and services for their marketplace at the St. Petersburg Pier. The city will be holding a series of informational events from prospective vendors that will take place over the next few weeks. The dates and locations include April 24th, which we've already missed, May 2nd, there's one, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. at the St. Pete Greenhouse, 440 2nd Avenue North, and May 8th, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. at the J.W. Cate Recreation Center, 5801 22nd Avenue North. The Pier Marketplace is an area under the entrance of the new St. Pete Pier that will showcase kiosk and tent vendors and their products and services. 7 market stalls up to 20 tents will be available for lease. What kind of stuff do you want to see at the new pier? Personally, I hope they make the whole thing a very large Apple store. I think that would be fantastic for business and would really drive people to the downtown area. But what do you think? 813-693-2124. I always like to hear stories where cops do good stuff, because typically when they're in the news, it's not for good reasons. And it's right here in St. Pete, too. A man was put in a tough spot when his bike, which he uses daily to get to work, was stolen in downtown St. Petersburg. My friend stole my bike. Before he left, I let him use my bike. Because he got in a car accident, didn't have a way to get around. He lived downtown, so I said, all right, well, take this indefinitely. And then one day he just moved out of the state and took my bike with him. And I really miss that bike. So I know what I feel like. If you want to buy somebody a bike, I could use a bike. I'm just saying. I'm throwing it out there. It was my second bike, I should note. It was my beach cruiser. But I want to ride my beach cruiser, man. It's different tools for different jobs. I got my road bike, which I'm afraid to take downtown because I don't want it stolen. And that's why I don't ride it down there. But I would like to have a crappy bike that I can park downtown. I want to go to the Rays games. I was going to go to the Rays game the other day. You know, go for a few hours, ride my bike down there. But last time I rode my bike downtown, I got my wheel stolen. So you can't leave anything down there. That's just, you know, I'm not saying that St. Pete is any. It's just the living in the city thing. You're going to have to deal with that sort of crap. But this guy got his bike stolen, and he depends on it to get to work. Police officers Karina Branley and Allison Savarsi didn't want him to lose his only mode of transportation, so they reached out into their own pockets and bought him a replacement. The St. Petersburg Police Department shared photos of the officers delivering the new bike to his home on the agency's Facebook page, and the women received praise from a number of their followers. Awesome! You restore my faith in humanity, wrote Sherry Townsend Miller. Community-oriented policing at its finest. Thank you, officers, said Janelle Button. So yeah, that's always good. I know that they have to. You see, you want to share something like that, right? If you do something, that's a nice thing. That's good PR for the police, and you want to share it on social media. But it's one of those things where if you share it, doesn't it kind of, I don't know, it just takes some of the luster off of it, right? But I know you have to share something like that. That's good. You want the police to be involved in the community. Hey, look at what we're doing. We're trying to just not beat people up and ruin their days. Sometimes we do cool stuff, like buy you bikes and stuff. You know, you want to, I get why they want to put it out there, but it's just like, you know, the people on social media that you see constantly, that every time they do something good, they have to take a picture of it and share. Every time they're at the gym, they got to share that. Just to let you know, I'm here and I'm better than you. And it's kind of one of those things. If those people who do volunteer work, that's great that you're doing the work. And I think overall it's a net positive because it's good that you're doing the work. But I feel like a lot of it sometimes is, it's not, it's a symbiotic thing because they're getting that, I'm better than you, look at me, I'm helping. What are you doing? Overall, though, net positive, right? 813-693-2124 is the voice and text line here. HMBRadio.com is the website.
This is the Homemade Broadcast. This is RadioCP.com.
The Homemade Broadcast is brought to you by Homemade Podcasts. Yes, they are affiliated. It's my podcast and media consulting business that I have. If you are interested in learning how to podcast but don't know where to start, I can help you. If you're a business that wants to reach new and existing clientele through the medium of podcasting, again, I'm your guy. How? Because I'm talking to you through that medium right now, you dingus. Hit me up at homemadepodcasts.com, and I look forward to working with you. Or if you're a business that would like to advertise with a local podcast promoting St. Pete and Tampa Bay things and issues, well, I know your guy. It's me. Again, fathom that. HMBRadio.com. Hit the contact page. You can get a hold of me there or leave a voice or text message at 813-693-2124. And this week, or earlier this week, on Stay Woke. Stay Woke is a radio program I co-host with my pal Anna Hummel. We do it every weeknight, Tuesday through Saturday at midnight on 102.5 The Bone. If you're not up at that time, and who is, you can download the app. And you can listen on demand whenever you want. Just download that app. Just search 102.5 The Bone. And then earlier this week, we were talking about Anna found out some news that she was very excited to share with me because it blew her mind. So let's hear this clip from Stay Woke.
I came across this little nugget and I was like, the people need to know, Will. The people need to know
who was on today.
The truth. Oh, this was from a while ago. So this guy's name is Chris Kresser. He's like some doctor who's like does a lot with like gut biomes and stuff like that. And he talks a lot about, you know, nutrition and diet, obviously just like healthy living. But and I know that there's obviously correlation with what we eat and how sedentary we are and our physical health, right? Obviously, when it comes to things like heart disease, blood pressure, diabetes, all that sorts of stuff, we already know. But he was taking it a step further, and he's saying that a lot of the issues we have with our mental health, not just like, oh, you're depressed or low energy, but like depression, anxiety, is because of bad gut health. He's saying that there's a connection there where if you don't have a certain amount of like good bacteria, it can affect the neurotransmitters that essentially affect your brain and how you're feeling. Totally makes sense.
You're aware that they do, some people who are sick and have like Crohn's disease,
yeah,
and stuff, that they are actually doing fecal implants,
yeah,
on people, putting dookie,
yeah,
other people's dookie who are healthy,
right,
into the other person's bowel to get that good fauna in there, and then they recover.
Yeah.
You have to do like an enema, I guess.
Yeah, enema with poop.
It's weird,
but gross.
Super
but
weird.
Yeah, that makes sense to me because that's like a digestive sort of issue. But he was talking about like diet and depression and how that can interact with one another. And he was talking a lot about Big Pharma and how Big Pharma doesn't want you to be healthy. They want you to be unhealthy because that's how they make money. And then he went even a step further and he was like, Big Pharma is trying to tap into the healthy market. So not only do they want people who are unhealthy hooked on their stuff, which makes sense, and there's definitely a use for, you know, pharmaceuticals. Some people really need medication. I understand that. But he was saying that they would often sort of brainstorm how they can tap into the healthy market. And then he brought up the story of Viagra. And I had no idea the origins of Viagra. And not only that, how they captured a healthy market. We're going to play this for you. It's going to blow your mind.
It's in our culture. And this happens across the board. And it's not, do you know the story of Viagra and how that was developed?
Yeah, it was some sort of a blood pressure medication, correct?
Right. And
they hit the jackpot on that one, huh?
Yeah. So they found like, okay, this isn't working very well for what we designed it for, but it's got some pretty interesting effects. And so, but they knew it wasn't enough to just then go out there and start selling it to say, hey, here's a drug that will help, you know, make you perform better,
right,
in the bedroom. That wasn't enough. What they had to do was create a disease,
yeah,
that it could be prescribed for, because that's, and then, and you know how they did that? They hired an advertising agency, and the ad agency came up with the term erectile dysfunction.
No way.
And created this.
No way.
Absolutely. It's
they created a disease so that they could give you a treatment for that disease that didn't even exist. Mm. Isn't that insane?
Publicly available information.
An agency named a disease.
They
created a disease.
This is not the only case where this has happened. So they create this disease category, and then they get it out into the world, and they advertise it to people and to doctors. And so all of a sudden, people are going in with a magazine. They're like, this is me. I have erectile dysfunction, and I know now there's a drug called Viagra that I need because I have erectile dysfunction. And the doctor has seen they have their own brochure. You know, they pull out their brochure, and it says erectile dysfunction. Here are the signs and symptoms. Okay, check, 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 check. Yes, this patient's got erectile ED, so here's the drug prescription.
How is it legal for an advertising agency to name a disorder?
Well, I'll tell you that it's illegal in every single country in the world except for New Zealand and the United States to advertise drugs to consumers.
I had no idea.
See, and that, I always thought that was very strange, because you look in any sort of magazine, mm-hmm, from Cosmopolitan,
sure,
to even Time and The Atlantic, mm-hmm, there's an ad for a medication in there. Why are they advertising medications to people who have no idea what they're talking about, unless they're looking at the symptoms, like he's saying, be like, mm-hmm, oh, I had this. Hey, I want this. Now they incentivize the doctors. These drug companies mm-hmm. will go and talk to these doctors, take them out for a nice dinner, mm-hmm. take them to a resort, play some golf with them. Hey, you know, if somebody comes to you looking for this drug, I hope you'll or to treat their symptoms, yeah. I hope you'll consider our drug,
sure.
you know, to write for them. Mm-hmm. And then they do so. It is a twisted game here in the U.S.
But let me offer not a counterpoint, but I remember thinking that I was crazy when I was a kid because I had like obsessive compulsive disorder, mm-hmm. but I didn't know what it was. I just thought I was weird.
Yeah.
And I remember seeing a commercial. I don't remember what the drug was for, but it was like, do you excessively wash your hands? Do you count things a million times? And I was like, yes. Yes, yes. And it was like, you have obsessive compulsive disorder. Now, had I not seen that, I probably would have just thought I was a weirdo for the next, I don't know, 5-10 years. But I remember seeing that when I was probably around, I don't know, 11 or 12, thinking like, oh, this is a condition I have. And before I was ever even taken to a doctor or diagnosed, I knew that that is what I had because I saw that commercial. So maybe that's what they're kind of, you know, trying to tap into is like people have these symptoms and they're like livable, but it's not comfortable. Or if they have like something like Crohn's disease or and they don't know that they have it until they read these symptoms. So you're trying to bring awareness. I kind of understand that. But also, you're right. This is just a marketing ploy, man.
Yeah, I think. Probably mental conditions are probably a little more difficult mm-hmm. to, I don't know, diagnose with mm-hmm. things like OCD. It may just become your baseline. Mm-hmm. So you're used to being kind of crazy
yeah.
and it might be hard to see. But I would think even if you were a kid, maybe your parents would notice something and
sure.
maybe bring it up to your doctor and then your doctor could go into it, maybe refer you to a psychologist. Like, this is what they do. They're
yeah.
there to diagnose symptoms.
Sure.
You're not supposed to be diagnosing your own symptoms because now you're running into problems, you know, on Tumblr, for example, where you
uh-huh.
got some 14-year-old girl
yeah.
who's everybody's self-diagnosed. They're all mentally ill. And it gives them some sort of social capital to be so. But so they have all these weird diseases, but that's not our jobs. That's supposed to be the doctor's job. So to have something that's advertised
really?
To you.
Because
yeah.
I feel like, forget about the advertising and the marketing companies and things like that. But, I mean, you should also just be aware because you're not going to go to the doctor doesn't make you go to the doctor, right? You take yourself
you're
to the doctor.
You're supposed to take, yeah, your own
right.
health into your own hands.
So
and
I
it's
feel
not
like,
easy for a lot of people to get to the doctor.
Right, exactly. So maybe a lot of people just think that they can't be helped. So when they see I'm just playing devil's advocate, but if they see an advertisement like, oh, okay, this is something that other people have and that there's some sort of help that I can get, maybe it would at the very least allow people to research a little bit more into what they're feeling, what they're experiencing,
yeah.
and maybe even just go and consult their doctor and be like, listen, I saw this ad. I don't know what this disease is or if this is my only option, but it kind of at least gets you in motion to make
yeah.
a change.
I hear what you're saying. However, we're not qualified to do that. We haven't been through 8 years of medical school and a residency. And we also have emotional attachment to some of the things that we're concerned about. We convince ourselves WebMD is a big thing. People are convinced every day
right.
that they have cancer because they have
sure,
a bloody nose.
I understand what you're saying, but at the very least, at least it will get you to go and consult a doctor, possibly.
Possibly.
You know what I mean?
But I think it does, I would say overall, it does more harm than potentially good.
I think most people are idiots, so I do agree with you there. But I think for me, if I were to see an ad like this, I'd be like, oh, okay, this is actually a disorder. I'm not just a weirdo, say with like OCD. And then it would probably motivate me to investigate more and research and say, oh, there's a community of people that are just like me. We're all crazy. How can I then help myself sort
yeah.
of thing?
And I think... And I see your point there, and I think that's a reasonable thing to say, but it feels slimy and muddies the water when these symptoms are treated by this drug. So
yeah.
ask your doctor for this drug mm-hmm. when you go into the doctor, and he'll give it to you. You know, that's crazy.
But then it also kind of got me thinking about ED, erectile dysfunction. Mm-hmm. Is it even a disorder? Is it even a condition, or is it a symptom of something else, whether it be anxiety, some sort of weird learned habit. Yeah. Most of the time, it's just performance anxiety. I would feel. I haven't.
No, it's just dudes who don't need to have boners anymore.
It happens to young guys
too. 75.
No,
you
but
don't need,
yeah,
you don't need
I mean, you don't need like
anymore.
An erection for more than 4 hours. But in terms of like, if you're having an issue with your boner and you're like a normal age, you know, I would say most of the time, I'm not a doctor, but like I would say most of the time, it's something that you need to figure out upstairs in your brain. You're probably either stressed out or you have anxiety or some sort of combination where it's a snowball effect. Because what I know about the reproductive system, males and females, the same. When you start introducing stress or anxiety, that's one of the first things that gets affected.
Sure.
Your boners, and then, you know, women lose their periods if they're stressed or they, you know, go under a certain amount of body fat. So that's like the first thing to do, the first thing to go, because your body goes from, okay, you know, we're healthy, we can reproduce, to, no, we're in survival mode right now. We need to pour all our resources into being healthy enough so we can get to a state again where we can be reproductive. Mm-hmm.
And these pills aren't being marketed to, you know, guys in their 30s. Guys in their 30s will take them. But it's more of a novelty. It's like when your friend gives you an Adderall so you can party
all
night.
Sure, right.
It's kind of the same premise as that.
Yeah.
So these pills are being, you know, it feels like it's like 50s, you know, that's where it's supposed to be pushed, which probably is when it starts. But I feel like probably it's for rich dudes in their 70s that still just want to, you know, bang. Their wife is dead, or they left them, they divorced them, and now they have a Lamborghini. And they want to, you know, get some 20-year-old hot chick that will bang them for their money.
Can I? And I know that a lot of guys have experience with Viagra or Cialis or something like that. Much like you said, almost like a party drug, right? Or they're going on a bender in Vegas and they want to bang like 17 strippers.
I got slipped a Viagra once.
If you have tried it. Mm-hmm. Does it affect like sensitivity, enjoyment at all? Do you kind of go like numb and you just get an erection? How does that work?
I can tell you my Viagra story. So we were 18 and we went to Miami for spring break.
Hell yeah.
And when we get there, me and my buddy Josh got there and a couple of other friends were already there, settled into the room. And they go, "Hey guys, you should take a leave now so you don't get a headache later from the booze that we're about to consume." And I said, "Okay, sure. That sounds reasonable." Mm-hmm. So I cracked open this Advil packet, and there's a giant blue pill in there. Mm-hmm. And I went, "Oh, that's odd and unusual. I've never seen one like that before. But here we go, down the hatch." And I took it. And then they put on, in Miami, for some reason, this is probably an hour later after I took the pill, they have a runway model station, and they're scantily clad women with their breasts fall out. And this is just on TV, like bare booby.
Right.
Just totally out. And they put this, our friends put this on purpose to try to get us horny, I guess, essentially.
All right.
But nothing really happened from the Viagra. It just got a headache from it. So I think it's psychosomatic, right? Mm-hmm. So you got to think, "Oh, I'm going to get totally huge bones from this thing."
Oh, yeah, big time.
But it didn't happen at all for me.
Yeah, there we go. Viagra is, you know, it's all in your mind, man. If you're expecting something, you're going to feel it a little bit. And your penis will listen to your brain if you just really concentrate. That's true. I'm not a doctor, believe it or not, but that is absolutely true. 813-693-2124. If you have any good Viagra stories or anything, did you get slipped any like me? Or did you take one and get a result that you were not expecting? Leave me a text or a voicemail, 813-693-2124. Download the 102.5 The Bone app to get Stay Woke on demand, because you're not up at midnight because you're a normal human being. And if you are, tune in. TheBoneOnline.com is a website every midnight. Weeknights, that is. Don't tune in on the weekends because I'm not going to be there. If you want some stickers and magnets, slip into my DMs, home_made_man. Send me your address, and I would like to send some to you free of charge because I love you, and I thank you for listening and doing all that good stuff. And with that, I will leave you for the week. So I hope you have a good week. If you're listening on Radio St. Pete, stay tuned for Frank Rivera's Jazz Show coming up next, followed by the Indie Circuit. If you're listening on podcast, you the man or lady or Z or they, whatever you identify as, I respect. And there we go. I hope you have a good one. My name is Will Koontz. This is HMB Radio on Radio St. Pete. Talk to you later. Bye. We'll be right back.
You have found the Homemade Broadcast on RadioSaintPete.com.